In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority, amen. Amen. Mary's life was never the same after that fateful day. The day she had met that angel Gabriel, telling her that she, an unmarried girl, was going to be pregnant. Months after that fateful news, she and her fiancé Joseph received the declaration from the Roman Empire that all were to go back to their hometowns to be registered. These registrations by the Roman Empire were there in order that the empire might be able to figure out how many taxes they needed to get from the people that lived in their empire. They were also done in order that the empire would know how many military age men were living in their lands, so they could take the proper proportion and conscript them into the Roman military. So Mary and Joseph headed down to Bethlehem, Joseph's hometown, where his family and relatives were staying. When they came to Bethlehem, we're told that the time for Mary to give birth was right on the doorstep. And we're told that there was no place in the guest room there in Bethlehem. If we read between the lines of what's going on here, we can see that this was not because there wasn't any space for them, but there was no place for them, the text says. This girl, pregnant out of wedlock, and her shameful fiancé, there was no place for them. So out with the animals they went. In a cave or some barn, they made their residence. There, Mary gave birth to this child that Gabriel had told her that fateful day was going to be the king to rule over all the world. And there he was, born in shame, not even welcomed by the family of his father-to-be. Outcast. Speaking of outcast, out in the fields that night were some shepherds. Now, shepherds were like gypsies or nomads, travelers. They were hated by all in the region because they lived outside of the reach of the arm of the law. They avoided taxes. They avoided all civil right engagements. They were not allowed to be legal witnesses in court. These shepherds out hiding away from the city centers are approached by an angel of the Lord bringing a message to them, telling them that a child had been born that night. And they were to go and visit and worship this child because this child was a child who was going to change the world. So the shepherds faithfully go. And there they find Mary and Joseph in their humble abode of shame. And the shepherds give honor to this boy. Outcasts gathered with outcasts, celebrating something new that God was doing in the world. 8 days later, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph take Jesus to be circumcised and to offer the appropriate sacrifice for him being the first male born in their little family. And as they are there, we are told that they offer the sacrifice of shame, the sacrifice of the poor, two birds. Because if you look in the law of Moses, the actual proper sacrifice was a lamb. Mary and Joseph, in the shame of their unexpected pregnancy, do not have the money to offer a lamb as a sacrifice. So they offered the sacrifice of shame for poor people, two birds. And there, as they are doing all of their proper rituals according to the law of Moses, we're told that an old man, Simeon, led by the Spirit, who has been waiting for God's salvation to come upon the world, and had been promised that he would see it with his own eyes before he died, is led by the Spirit into the temple of the Lord where they are. Simeon, a makes a beeline for Jesus and grabs this child out of Mary's arms and begins to bless him and to praise God that his eyes have finally seen the salvation of the world. And then after blessing Mary and Joseph, we're told that Simeon turns and looks at Mary. I imagine his face shifting tones and taking on a deep sadness. He tells Mary, this child is going to be the cause of the downfall, but the resurrection of many of your people. This child is going to be a sign spoken against, hated for many people. This child is going to cause a sword to cut into your own life. His sword will reveal the hearts of many. I can only imagine that Mary's joy in that moment was a little bit sobered. That this man coming out of nowhere would take this child and rejoice in him, but then give her these ominous, haunting words. This child was going to be a disruptor. Hatred and opposition was going to rise up around him. This child was going to cause a sword to pierce into her own life. I believe that sword piercing into Mary's life had already been at work when she encountered Simeon. We had seen it already in the text. Mary, there's no place for you in Joseph's family guest room. You were pregnant out of wedlock. Out with the animals you go. And there, as you give birth to your firstborn, the only ones to celebrate with you are shepherds, these outlaws, these outcasts, these wanderers. Here's your new family, Mary. And that sword would continue to cut in Mary's life. And we're told of another incident at the end of Luke 2. When Jesus is 12 years old, and they go down, as they did every year, to Jerusalem. And there they would celebrate the Passover. And Mary and Joseph are making their way back with the rest of the family, back to their hometown. And we're told that they find out a couple days later that Jesus is not with them. Where is he? The shame again. Your disobedient boy. Are you no good parents? Back they go. And there in Jerusalem, they find Jesus gathered in the temple with teachers of the law, learning, digesting, embracing the word of God. And Jesus' response to Mary when she says, "What are you doing here?" must have cut her like a sword to the heart. "Did you not know I needed to be about my father's business in my father's house?" Ouch. He's saying, "Mary, Joseph, you really aren't my parents. My obligations lie elsewhere. I was in my father's house about my father's business." As we celebrate Christmas, we remember, hopefully every year, God's gift to us in Jesus. But let's pause this year and really reflect on what that gift of Jesus means for us and our lives and our world. Simeon's words, this Jesus that is being born among us again this night, the cause of the downfall, but at the resurrection of many. He will be a sign that is hated, opposed, rejected. He will cause a sword to pierce into your life, to reveal the truth of your heart. Shame follows this little Jesus everywhere he will go, until those final moments as he hangs in shame, naked on a cross, reviled, hated, spit upon. Shame, rejection. This is the child that is being born again, we hope, in our lives this day. A child that will bring with him great disruption, causing the downfall of your very life, that God may lift you up and raise you up out of the ashes, that the sword of Jesus' word would pierce you, revealing the truth of your heart, exposing the lies that we tell ourselves, the lies that the world tells us to believe. So Merry Christmas. A child born this night. Beautiful, life-giving presence. The salvation of the very world, Simeon sees. But that road of salvation isn't easy. It won't take the expected paths. Shame, rejection, opposition is on that road. Piercing, cutting. But life. May we see this Jesus again, incarnate, present in our world this Christmas. Cutting into our lives, disrupting them, but bringing the only joy that matters, the only life, the only salvation that we can find. So look to him. Remember him again. Hear his story fresh. For the first time, for the millionth time. He's born this day. The world will never be the same. May he cause the downfall of your life. But may he bring you resurrection life as well. Amen.